kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual is Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I fucking exist.
Yay!
Yay! Ooh, sometimes that's the best you can do.
Hooray for existence.
Yeah.
Woo.
Hey,
oh,
look,
my God,
Jacob's
somebody
here.
Else existed.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I didn't even get to introduce you. I was going to be like, eh, joining us as a special guest this week, but you had to go and talk and fuck it all up.
He just
We could record that out, right?
No.
No.
No. Okay.
No. Too lazy.
Fuck it. We're doing it live.
We literally are doing it live.
Well, literally. Well, yeah. Yeah, I know, but whatever.
I'm not doing anything. I don't know about you people.
So how's everyone doing?
You people?
Oh, I mean, don't start this, Jacob.
I mean people that ain't me.
How's everyone doing?
It's been a week.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a dude backed into our newish car. Yeah, and then...
Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Because I backed into a car this week.
No, it was not you, Joe.
I know, because the person I backed into was a lady who got out of her car, looked at it, jumped back in her car, and drove away. Yeah. We think that she doesn't have insurance.
Yeah.
That's so, fair. Yeah.
I assume so.
I tried to ask, do you want our insurance information? You know, are you okay? Is everything all right? And she just hopped in her car and left. Like, peace.
Okay.
So, I lucked out.
I'll say.
What's your story?
So my wife was at this one shopping center, and she was like, and she was in like, you know, like the lanes of like the parking area. And she's like on the other side, and this guy just like backs out of his parking spot, like straight into the back door of our minivan. And then he tried telling her that, you know, it was her fault and stuff like that. And then she was clearly like, well, you know, like, all right, I'm going to try to get a police officer, you know, and all that other kind of stuff. He goes into the store, I guess, like to go buy something, and then like comes back out and like starts apologizing. It's like, oh, well, it's really not that bad. You know, I'm probably not even going to report it to insurance, but like they still like, you know, exchanged information. And by the way, in Delaware, apparently cops won't come out because it's on private property. That's what they told her anyway, which I think is a load of crap. But
sounds like a load of crap.
Yeah, that sounds like bullshit to me.
I was gonna say that's like the kind of thing that I would have been like, no, I still want a cop coming out here. But anyway, so then yesterday we got informed by our insurance that yeah, he has filed something and tried to tell the insurance like no, like she definitely, like, she's at fault. So, we're kind of pissed.
Well, all you could do is fight it.
Yeah, well, we are. But, yeah, and also my youngest is sick with a fever. So
you're having a great week.
It's been a great week, yeah.
Cole, what about you? How's your week?
My week's been pretty mundane other than, you know, physical therapy hell. Yeah. But Monday... they canceled school 2 hours early for the girls because there was like 188 freshmen were out at the high school for sickness. That was just the freshmen, and that was all I had information about because I only have a freshman.
188 people.
Yeah.
I thought there's only 80 people in your town.
My kid doesn't, the high school's not in our town. It's in the next town over, and then it covers the whole county. Yeah, that's why she has to get on the bus at like 6 a.m. because it's an hour away.
Damn.
Yeah. And so it's like every kid in the county. We don't have districts and stuff based on neighborhoods around here. That's for rich people who have roads. We don't even have roads.
Oh, God.
So we have actual schools in our town. What the fuck is that? No, we have our like pre-K through 8 is here, but then they have to go into town for the high school.
Damn.
And so that's why like there were so many kids, because it's fucking county. So they canceled it 2 hours early on Monday, and then they just, at the exact same time, they were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're not coming back all week.
All week?
So they've been out all week because of people being sick, to give them time to sanitize the school and hope everybody gets over that shit before we try it again on Monday.
What the hell? Sanitize the school.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to help any.
What are they sick from?
Flu.
188 kids have the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Do you people not know what a flu shot is?
In all reality, a lot of people here won't get the flu shot. They'll vaccinate for everything else most of the time.
Well, at least they'll vaccinate.
But for the flu shot, I don't know. There's just this weird, I get the flu anyway. Yeah, and why you gotta have it every year type shit. And the funny thing is my sister had the flu shot because both her and I are our immune systems are compromised, so we're both very adamant with each other, get your flu shot. And she got hers, but she still has the flu. She's had it for about 4 days. And she just happened to catch the strain that wasn't in the shot.
Nice.
So, yeah.
She should play the lottery.
I told her that, too. She said she only won $1.
Oh, Flozax Rollins coming in, dropping 15 biddies. You know what that means.
Uh-oh.
Joe gets naked.
There we go. I forgot I lowered the volume of Winamp, so I had to increase it and play it again.
Winamp. But,
yes, don't make fun of my Winamp usage. I love Winamp.
It's funny every time you say it.
Yeah, well,
are there people that still make like Winamp skins so that make it look cool? That's what I used to do.
I've been using the same Chrono Trigger Winamp skin since 1999.
You know, maybe you should, like, update.
Not good. You know. It works. It works well. I'm happy with it. And it plays this.
Drop it, bitch!
Yeah, it does.
What was that?
You'll have to listen to the show.
Screw that.
So anyway, we should probably talk some news of the week while Jacob's here.
Yeah, I guess we should.
Before we get to, I know, Jacob, you want to talk about Crackdown and the reviews, but there's some really big news that we have to discuss first, right off the bat. Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé is set to retire after 15 years at Nintendo on April 15th. So Reggie is stepping down.
Yeah, I know, but did you say who's replacing him?
Doug Bowser, current senior VP of sales and marketing, Doug Bowser will succeed Reggie as president of Nintendo of America. So Bowser is going to be in charge at Nintendo. That's amazing.
Now, yeah, is he totally going to be? Because I thought he was just interim.
No, from what I saw, he's just going to be the new prez.
Okay, because I know early stories were like, we're not sure if he's like really going to be replacing him or if it's just like an interim basis.
We'll find out in April, I guess. What do you think of Reggie stepping down?
I mean, that's pretty big news because, I mean, he is the face of Nintendo of America for pretty much as far as we're all concerned. And I would say, like, he is a pretty good ambassador of just gaming in general. Like, because I think he did, like, admit that, like, his office has, like, the other systems, too, and he regularly plays other stuff, you know, even though he's head of Nintendo. And, like, he's fully willing to admit, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, Sony and Microsoft have good things out there, but, you know.
Yeah, you hear Nintendo say that, you hear Microsoft say that. You don't hear that from Sony.
Yeah, well, can't imagine why.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a mystery. Totally. One of life's greatest mysteries. But yeah, Jacob, I know you're here. You wanted to talk about Crackdown. Crackdown came out last week. What? Did you have something else to say?
I'm actually surprised that you weren't talking about the latest rumors of Microsoft stuff on the Switch.
I was going to get to that stuff later.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know how long we'll have you for.
Gee whiz, okay.
Well, you're the one who said that you don't know how much time you have.
I know, but I was actually, I boned up on, video game news just on the off chance, so, you know.
All right, we'll go into there's been rumors all week long between Nintendo, Microsoft, Platinum Games, rumors of revivals. There has been so much news coming out. I'll just go in order of what the rumors were. The rumors were circulating that Platinum Games and Nintendo were working on reviving Scalebound as a Switch exclusive. That came out to be overturned a few days later. Instead, they said that Project Hammer might be making a comeback from the Wii days. And then those were like, no, those are unlikely to come out. The latest bullet points were that Project Hammer and Scalebound are unlikely to come back. Project Hammer was a mess of a project that caused a lot of damage. Platinum Games has unannounced projects and pitches. The decision to cancel Scalebound was a mutual one between Platinum and Microsoft. So I guess.
Which makes me sad because I thought that looked pretty neat.
Well, oh, and here's the thing. Microsoft retained the rights to Scalebound and the development assets.
Did they retain the development assets?
They did. So the odds of it popping up, not to mention one of the reasons that they were expecting that it's been said that they canceled it was because it ran poorly.
Yeah, the next bullet point was one of the biggest reasons it was canceled was the tech could not run the vision for the game.
So there is absolutely no way. I'm sorry, Switch fans. But if the Xbox One X couldn't run it, the Switch can't.
Unless it was completely redesigned, which, who knows?
That seems highly doubtful.
Yeah. Even if something like that were the case, I don't think it's been out of development long enough to have been picked back up, brought back into development, and remastered enough that they would have something to make it worth saying, yeah, we're doing this. Because Nintendo doesn't show you shit that's coming in 3 or 4 years.
True. Well, Metroid Prime 4, they kind of jumped the gun on that one a bit. Let's see, what else was here on these bullet points? Scalebound was a very personal project for Platinum Games. Picking it up again when many folk who worked on it left seems to be against Platinum Games studio culture, whatever that means. There's no reason for Microsoft to sell Scalebound as it would do damage to Microsoft, and they don't think that Platinum Games has the money to even buy it. And then here's the big thing, Liam Robertson, who announced all this stuff or who reported on all this stuff, said that he has heard Nintendo and Microsoft are working on big, quote, big things together. And then today, more rumors came out suggesting that Microsoft might be looking into publishing some games on the Switch, including Ori and the Blind Forest. That is one title that has been specifically name dropped. And then they also said that there are reports of an Xbox app coming to the Switch, which will allow Project xCloud and Game Pass streaming.
I could see that.
How fucking awesome would that be?
Because go ahead.
No, God damn it, you go ahead now. I just said it.
Because there's been the rumors that I had read that Xbox Live might be coming to the Switch.
Would be nice for the Switch to have a real, actual online service.
Right, and so it only makes sense that something like Game Pass might also come to it too. It's probably just going to be Microsoft games, but, that would still be pretty insane for that to be coming to the Switch. And I'm wondering if it's really Nintendo saying, yeah, we're looking at getting out of consoles.
I don't think it's a we're getting out of consoles. I think something that's important to note with Nintendo is that they have a nostalgia lineup But when was the last time Nintendo come out with a brand new IP exclusive that just wowed everybody?
That wasn't theirs?
Yeah. No, that was theirs. Just, I mean, like Splatoon, right? It might have been the last.
Splatoon was pretty big. Wonderful 101 has gained a lot of popularity, although, you know, it stuck being on the Wii U doesn't do it any favors.
See?
And there's another game from Platinum Games.
That was still last gen for them. So, I mean, what do they have this year besides, or not this year, but this gen, besides Zelda and Smash, that just make people go, holy fuck, I need this in my pocket all the time?
Mario Odyssey.
Right, I was about to say that.
But, I mean, the numbers, it's still a small pool. And if they go, you know what, let's bring in Microsoft games and let's make this partnership happen. We have handheld software. They might have, you know, a leg up on actual stationary consoles, but this is kind of a match made in heaven where they're like, okay, you've got Game Pass, you've got xCloud. Just let them bring their games with them and go. That gives more people a reason to put a Switch in their pocket.
Yeah. And it gives Xbox gamers a reason to pick up a Switch.
Exactly. It's a sound strategy. And it gives Switch players a reason to pick up Game Pass.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, like, online multiplayer might not be such a mess, like, in terms of, like, the friend codes. And, I mean, Nintendo hasn't had, like, a strong online presence.
Ever.
Ever. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I said it first.
No, you didn't.
Yes, yeah, you did. I did. You'll listen to the recording and you'll know.
I ain't listening to shit. We've covered that already. No, I kid. I actually listen to just about every episode.
Why?
Because, you know, I figure you'll get, like, your 5 cents from YouTube, you know, like, 2 years from now.
Maybe.
You know, I thought I'd help you out with your numbers. And also, I, you know, sometimes I listen to it while I'm, you know, doing the social media stuff.
True.
So what, but anyway,
what are you guys' opinions? Would you like to see other Xbox games show up on the Switch? What besides Ori and the Blind Forest would you want to see? I've been saying for years, Rare Replay deserves to be on the Switch.
Rare Replay would make sense. Absolutely.
I mean, the thing is that, like, the last few Nintendo consoles haven't really been particularly big on shooters. I mean, like, you had, what was it, The Conduit on the Wii?
Are we going to talk about that game, really?
I'm serious. Like, there weren't a lot of shooters. Like, there haven't been a lot of shooters. I mean, like, yeah, you got Splatoon, but, I mean, I think this opens up a lot of other avenues for Nintendo that they haven't been strong in.
Halo Wars with touch controls, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, like, honestly, RTS would probably be pretty boss on, you know, on a Switch controller.
There's been talk of Age of Empires news, and people are wondering if we'll see an Xbox version. What if we see a Switch version of Age of Empires?
That'd be impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody would be down for that.
I mean, we saw an Age of Empires game back on the original DS.
And also, I mean, like, here's a pretty crazy possibility. What about Halo? Because remember, they did actually test there was, like, a Halo demo for,
I think the DS.
I think it was the DS. And it's just like, why not? I mean, they thought about it at one point.
I don't know. I don't know if Halo, if they would want to bring their biggest game over to the Switch. Then again, this is all spitballing anyway, so why the hell not? Right. But yeah. It'd be cool to see it show up. I think the biggest detriment would be the builds between the Xbox One version of the game and the Switch version of the game would be so drastically different that crossplay probably wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what Microsoft is pushing.
That's fair.
Halo Wars.
Maybe they do something for future titles, but yeah.
Well, I don't know, though. Think about where they did the fast launch thing recently. So you can actually choose what parts of the game are installed and what aren't.
Yeah, on some games.
But I mean, if that's something that they stick with and they push it, why not make it to where you would be able to say, I'm installing this on a Switch, or have it notice the system that you're on and let it install a lighter version of that game.
Maybe.
With, you know, all the bells and whistles, but less graphics or whatever, so that it runs fine.
I just think it'd be more realistic that we would see a game like that streaming through Game Pass instead of an actual port over.
Far, and, you know, that's kind of what I was talking about, was more from a streaming perspective as opposed to.
Maybe. I mean, at the same time, I'm thinking, like, with what they did with Crackdown 3, you know, they have it as, like, there's a single player campaign, but there's also the multiplayer portion, and they're two separate
installs.
You know, and so what if, you know, again, of course, to the listeners, we're all just spitballing and bullshitting at this point. You know, what if, you know, the single player campaign is just like this, whatever, and it's dumbed down for the Switch and all that kind of stuff. But the multiplayer, you know, you can play that with other people on Xbox and PC and stuff like that. I mean, that's what I would personally figure would happen, but I don't know.
Mika is saying she wants Nintendo games on the Xbox, and that there's apparently rumors that Metroid might show up on Xbox. I don't know if Nintendo would do that, but it would be interesting.
I don't know that they would, but I'd hope that they would. Like, if we're going to go so far as to say Microsoft exclusives on the Switch, what's Microsoft going to get back?
Their brand on a competitor.
I know that. But, I mean, beyond that, like...
No, I mean, that's fair.
What's the trade-off as well, though?
Yeah,
you know?
I couldn't see that, like, without other, like, you know, some Nintendo stuff coming over. I mean, Nintendo's already exploring, you know... I mean, they've been exploring cell phone games. I mean, come on, we've got Super Mario Run, we've got the Pokemon... We've got Pokemon Go, we've got Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
I mean, they even tried social media with Miitomo, or whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah, that went really well.
I think I was, like, the only person in the world to use it.
I used it for, like, a week.
I used it pretty much the entire lifetime of it.
You poor bastard.
I know, and I was so upset that, like, you know, I had created, like, a Nintendo ID and all that other kind of crap. And then it was just like, yeah, your clothing doesn't mean anything. It's not like, yeah, bye. And I was just like, oh, so if I ever get like a Nintendo console, this isn't going to come with? And they're like, yeah, sucks, bro.
Ouch.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's my thing. I mean, like, I've read a few articles where people are wondering, you know, how many more consoles does Nintendo really have, you know, in them? You know, are they really, you know, going to keep rehashing stuff, or are they going to become something like Sega? Hopefully not in the, you know, we're going to make really shitty Sonic games for the rest of our life, but, you know, where it's just, they become third party and they're okay with that, you know?
I don't know. I think Nintendo's too stubborn to go third party. I could see them partnering up with Xbox and maybe getting a couple of titles cross-platform. Like, in a perfect world, we would have Mario Kart on Xbox with crossplay.
Oh, God, don't talk dirty to me like that.
In a perfect world, we would get Smash Brothers on Xbox with crossplay.
Yeah, whatever.
You bitch. Smash Brothers on Xbox would be incredible. Carnage, Smash Brothers with achievements.
No, pass. I'd rather have Mario Kart any day.
In a perfect world, they would both be there.
Yeah. Fuck Smash Brothers. I'm terrible at it, so I could care less.
Couldn't care less.
Are you really going to challenge me on my vernacular?
Yes.
I don't care. In fact, I couldn't care less.
There you go.
I'm so proud of you. You learned something.
Damn it. I mean, whatever. I don't care. I hate you both.
I hate you too.
Yeah.
So yeah, so. We talked about Crackdown. Jacob, I know you've been putting time into Crackdown. I put some time into Crackdown. Do you agree with all of the reviews coming out, giving it like fives and sixes?
How come nobody cares that I played Crackdown?
Shut up.
Did you play Crackdown?
Did
you?
Yeah.
I'll be all right, damned.
We're talking about Crackdown 3, not just the original Crackdown.
That's what I'm saying. I played
Crackdown. Oh, all right. You're just like, I played Crackdown. And it's like, all right, congratulations. So
who the fuck talks about Crackdown 1 in 2019?
They're giving it away for free, Buttmunch. Oh. Jeez.
Crackdown 3 is on Game Pass. They're technically giving it away too.
Well, yeah, but after your Game Pass expires, you don't get it for you don't get to keep it.
Who lets Game Pass expire though?
I'm going to after my 2 months are done.
That's a horrible idea. Stop that. Is.
I only paid $2 for it, so I don't care.
You should keep it. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe we'll see.
Sidetrack. Anyway, go on. Carry on.
All right. So your initial question, do I agree with like the mediocre scores it's been given? Initially, no, I did not. You know, I was just like, it plays like the old Crackdown, except with much prettier graphics, you know, and there definitely seems to be more to the city and all that other kind of stuff. You know, cool. And also there's new objectives where it's not so much just like, you know, oh, kill this guy. It's, you know, there seems to be a lot more puzzles involved with it, which I was all right with the switch up. I think it's fine. It works for it. And now I don't know how many hours I'm into it. At least 10, maybe 12. I don't know. I've put in a ton. I've put in a bunch into the single player campaign, and now I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with like the fives and sixes on it. For whatever reason, and keep this in mind, I'm playing this on an Xbox One S. And it's just like, it's all of a sudden it's just started stuttering and it'll just completely freeze for like 10 seconds, 15 seconds or so.
I have not run into that at all.
Well, I haven't either. And I'm on an S.
For me, it keeps doing this. And it'll just like keep stuttering and like stalling at certain points. And like, you know what? It's 2019. If like, you've got a million fucking things exploding on the screen, I could understand that kind of, but it's stuff as simple as me getting out of the car or me turning around. And all of a sudden it's just like, oh, hey, you know, agent, you're doing a great job. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like,
that's going to get lost when you truncate silence.
That is. And I don't care.
Whatever. But it's just like, it's just complete bullcrap. And I'm just like, all right, once or twice I could get it. But it's been doing this to me constantly, and I've even reinstalled the game. And I'm just like, what the shit is this? I would be furious if I paid $60 for this game.
Are any other games acting up on you? I'm kind of wondering if you might have a hardware issue.
No, it's just this.
Huh.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems like that. I even played it cooperatively with Studo last night. It's co-op single player, not the... co-op campaign. God damn.
There you go.
Co-op campaign with Suda. We had a few times where it would pop up and say, you know, slow connection or whatever, but that's pretty typical because his internet sucks. So that was the only time we had any kind of issue. It was not. And while playing single player, I haven't had a single smudge of an issue.
Me neither.
When I was playing co-op campaign with my friend John, like, we were fine, but it's just like the last, like, I don't know exactly when to pinpoint when in the game it started doing this, but like, it's become frequent enough that I'm just like, yeah, fuck this. Like, I'm glad, like, Crackdown 3 was the game that I was just like, all right, you know, I don't get to play a lot. You know, this will probably might be my first day one purchase, but unfortunately we're broke as shit right now, so I didn't buy it. And instead I hopped on Game Pass for like the 2 months for $2 thing, because I was like, all right, I can at least afford this. And I'm legitimately glad that I did, because at this point I'll pick it up when it drops to 20, but this is just, it's just like, it's ruining the what's the word I want to use? Experience. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm really disappointed with how this game's turned out, at least on my end.
Yeah, that's a bummer to hear. Like I said, I haven't run into any issues like that. I've probably put, I don't know, like 6 or 7 hours into it, although I've just been, like, running around collecting orbs for most of my time and then dying.
Now, have you been actually doing any of the campaign and stuff like that and going after the bosses and stuff?
I've unlocked one of the bosses, the quarry boss.
The quarry? Oh, yeah, okay.
And I unlocked the subway or the train boss, whatever.
Roxy.
Yeah. I didn't go to her to fight her yet. I tried fighting the quarry boss and I got my ass handed to me. But yeah, I haven't run into any kind of slowdown, hiccups, issues. Technically, the game has worked fine for me, so.
Yeah,
maybe it just hates you.
I've killed off at least 3 of the bosses, and I've been, like, shutting down most of the sites and stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously, I'm farther along than you, but at the same time, you're also playing it on Xbox One X, so.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, but I'm on an S, and I'm further along than you, and I'm fine.
How big's your... Well, the other thing I was wondering about is possibly, like, if this is affected by hard drive space. I mean, would that possibly be an issue?
Now, maybe, that could be a thing, because I do have a solid state drive.
Oh, look at you, Miss Fancy Pants.
I know, it. Right?
I want it. I didn't buy it.
Shocker, you won something.
I know.
Yeah, because I'm working off my 500 gig hard drive, and granted, there's about 50 gigs free, because that was the other thing. I emptied out a few other games just because I was just like, you know, maybe there's some sort of, I don't know, hard drive thing that I wasn't aware of, and it's just, it's been giving me all these fucking glitches, and it's just really damn annoying. And initially I was just like, all right, some of the animations are a little weird, especially when you're jumping, like the controls weren't perfect, but I was willing to overlook that. But it's just like the amount of freezing that this game does, this is like, I don't know what the hell's up with it. So I'm going to play it through, but I'm pretty disappointed with the final product.
I would try uninstalling some other stuff. Maybe it is a free space issue, because if you're that low on space, it could cause problems. Or do you have an external hard drive?
No.
How do you not have an external hard drive?
Because I don't have one.
You should win one.
Well, Cole, if you hold a contest for me, you know, I will enter it.
The process I recommend.
Sorry. You know what? I have an idea. Joe, what you should do is that you should reach out to some hardware companies and see if, like, you know, they'll, like, you know, give us stuff to test out. You know, be like, yo, give us, you know, one of these hard drives to test out. And, you know, we'll review it on the show. Of course, my review will be like, yep, it holds a terabyte.
It is a hard drive. That is exactly what it is.
Very good. On to the next review.
That's how we should do our reviews, just one sentence reviews. They would love that. PR firms would be thrilled.
Yep, it's a game. Or a game that we really hate. We're just like, yes, technically this does constitute as a game.
I did play a video game. I can confirm this was a video game. Was it good? I already said my sentence. Let's move on.
But yeah, so back to Crackdown. I haven't played the multiplayer, so I don't know how that pans out, but you know, I'm more of a single player a campaign mode kind of guy, so whatevs.
Well, let me ask you this, are you looking forward to Anthem?
Honestly, I couldn't give a shit. And I know that this is, like, not a particularly good excuse, but it's just, I'm still mad at BioWare with how they handled Mass Effect Andromeda. The fact that there was no DLC to even, like, no campaign mode DLC to just tie up like any loose ends for it. That, and also it's like, you know, there won't be anything else for like an, you know, a good while. That I'm just like, yeah, fuck this. I don't really care about Anthem. I think I've watched all of 5 minutes of gameplay from the moment it was announced. Like, I just don't care.
Because reviews for that are starting to come out, and
they're not good either. From what I've read,
it's hovering around a 6 out of 10.
I will say I have Anthem installing.
Like I've read pretty much a lot of people are comparing it to how when Destiny first launched.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I think I've played all of 10 minutes of Destiny. So I'm I'm also just kind of like a whatever about it. I really don't have anything to say on Anthem, you know.
What about you, Cole? Go ahead, Jacob.
I mean, I've got plenty to say about my feelings about how they've handled Mass Effect.
Yeah, we know.
All right, seriously, the Quarian arc, they handle it with a book that they don't even fucking announce that it came out, except like the week of. It's like, oh, yeah, we announced it. Oh, there you go. Here's a book. Yeah, fuck you.
I love hearing you get upset about Mass Effect.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
I've never poured so much time into a video game series for all of my decisions to mean jack fucking shit. Between the ending of Mass Effect 3 and then how much I enjoyed Andromeda, because I didn't play it until a year after it came out. And so, like, they had worked out most of the bugs. And then they just drop it, we're not going to do any kind of DLC to wrap up story or introduce new characters that you might enjoy. Yeah, fuck you. Thanks for your money. Like, I'm just forever frustrated about that series, as much as I love it.
I can tell.
Anyway.
Cole,
as you were saying.
What was I saying?
I was going to ask your thoughts on, are you excited about Anthem? How are you downloading it? Did you resubscribe to EA Access?
No.
Did you win it? Fuck you. How the fuck did you win that?
I have friends in high places.
Oh, Jesus.
I originally was super excited for it when I saw it announced at E3. And then I have a tendency when I'm excited about a game, I let it fall off my radar. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I like to be surprised by games. So I tried to do that with Anthem, but everybody's just like, this sucks, it's awful. And now I'm scared.
I'm still going to give it a shot. I have it pre-ordered at Best Buy. I'm picking it up tomorrow. I want to give it a go. I tried the beta or the open beta, the closed beta, whatever the fuck it was. And I enjoyed my time with it. I thought the flying was really good. It was fun killing things. I just worry about the longevity of the game.
You know, I have one benefit as far as Anthem goes.
You want
it? That I won't. Well, two benefits as far as Anthem goes is that I won't be trying to compare it to Destiny because I've never played Destiny.
That's like, fair, I guess.
I find a lot of people who have fussed about it, like, oh, it doesn't do this that Destiny does, or it did this and Destiny did that. And I'm like, I don't have that frame of reference. I'm going into it without any kind of expectations.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what I myself think about it, because I don't have the baggage, so to speak, that other people have in regards to it.
I'm hearing people are saying that you should compare it more to Diablo in the whole looting thing, but or maybe the way that BioWare needs to handle improving the game is how they improved Diablo instead of how they improved Destiny. But Lightspeed Halo saying it's basically a better Division, and you're a Division whore, so
fight me. That means I will either love it or I'll be like, it's not a Division.
Yeah, the Division 2 is next month.
Because Studa was like, oh, what are we doing? Are we picking up Anthem? And I was like, nah, I don't know. And then I got it today, and I was like, well, shit. But, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel. It just really depends on what frame of reference it is. And I do wonder if maybe I don't have the Destiny reference, but what if I am going to end up comparing it to the Division, because that's my bread and butter. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if that changes my take on it too.
Yeah, well,
but there's no such thing as a better Division. You can fuck off. Division is life. I have Division pre-ordered, and that is not a thing I do.
What version?
The Ultimate.
Digital or physical?
Digital.
So you're not even getting the Steelbook out of it?
Yeah, it's not an option.
Oh, you. Carnage, I can't wait to slam car doors with Eternal
like
again.
That anyway. He says that, but he never actually took me up on my offer to even play it with me once.
Oh, Carnage, you bastard.
He closed that car door on his own and then never went back. I was like, dude, I will carry you. I will put your midget ass in my backpack and we will go. Didn't happen.
Oh, Carnage, what are we going to do with you?
Oh, Mika's firing shots at me and says I play the boring stuff. I don't. I play a lot of great shit.
Like what?
I don't play trucker games. Now, if you see where it says that it's a trucker game, that's usually David playing, because if he's on the Xbox in the living room, then he has to have my account signed in to play. Yeah. So sometimes it'll say I'm playing shit that I'm most definitely not. But I play a wide variety of stuff, but I do love farming sims and fishing games. That is true.
Which those can be kind of boring.
You just got to know how to play them.
Oh, boy. So, anything else to be said on Crackdown and Anthem, or should we move on to some more news?
I don't really have anything else to say right now.
I think Crackdown has got an unfair shake.
I agree. I personally, if I were to give it a scored review, I'd probably give it like a 7.5.
Yeah.
I don't think it deserves the fives it's getting. Sixes I can understand. It's Crackdown. It is what it is. It's not trying to be anything different. It's Crackdown. And quack, quack, motherfucker.
I had not played Crackdown 1 or 2. And so I went into it without really any kind of... I knew the basics of the game. Like, I'd seen it played. So I had a general understanding of what I was going to be doing. And I found that my biggest complaint with it is that it's not really innovative. Every aspect of the gameplay feels like something you've played before, because it's a mechanic you've seen somewhere else, and then it's all just mishmashed together.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, the boss system, I was like, oh, that's very Shadow of Mordor. The moment it popped up on the screen, I was like, oh, I've seen that game before. And then just the gunplay and the agility aspect and everything. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Saints Row. And it was just...
I think Crackdown did it first with the agility orbs.
Maybe. I don't know the timing on that.
Me neither.
But it was just... Like I said, my biggest complaint was everything felt like it had come from something else and been cherry-picked from different games and then mashed together. But I didn't think that it was unenjoyable. I had a lot more fun with it than I expected. I thought, okay, this is a grind fest. I'm going to spend my time forcibly hunting down these orbs. Then I kind of just found myself enjoying the challenge of looking for the orbs. I think too many people were expecting Crackdown to be some kind of hardcore demolitionist shooter. And really, it's a platformer. It's far more a platformer than any kind of shooter. Like, the shooting aspect is just a side ploy. And I'm okay with that, but I think if people looked at it as maybe a different genre and considered it more an action platformer as opposed to a shooter, then maybe they would give it a different kind of a chance. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. People suck. I don't know. But I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it that I did not expect to have.
Yeah, I'm going to keep playing it. I'm enjoying it. I don't regret picking it up.
At the very least, I'm going to complete the campaign. I'm not going to get all the achievements and or anything like that, but I do just want to beat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to at least finish it out, but I don't know. I've already voiced my displeasure with how it's gone on for me later into the game. Initially, I would have been agreeing with you about the 7.5. At this point, it's a low 6.
You're a low 6.
That is a fucking compliment as far as I'm concerned.
Speaking of shooters, have you two heard the latest installment of the drama between Overkill's The Walking Dead?
No, what's going on here?
No.
PlayStation sent out emails this week refunding customers saying that the game had been canceled.
Oh.
Yeah, 505 Games later came out and stated the game is not canceled, just postponed, but it's not a good sign when PlayStation is refunding people.
Yeah,
yeah, because they are pretty slow on the draw with refunds. They don't.
Sony's kind of slow on the draw on just about
everything.
Yeah, just about everything.
Crossplay, especially.
And also, Bastard. Isn't Sony also winding down Vita production?
Yeah, but we've known the Vita's been dead for a while, so that's not news.
Well, I thought they like officially had announced that, you know.
Yeah, they're ceasing production on it.
Yeah.
So, rip Vita. We have the Switch now, so the Vita doesn't matter anymore. let's see. Other news. THQ Nordic has raised $225 million specifically for future acquisitions. So, expect to hear more THQ Nordic news in the future from us.
Those guys. THQ Nordic,
I'd just like to say this, if you're listening, I would love it if you guys purchased up Majesco and the Advent Rising series, please, 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 please. I will love you forever, and I would even let you do things to my body. I'm just putting that out there.
You or want not. Them to do it, don't you? Don't threaten
or,
them.
Or not. I, you know, you couldn't. You know, it's either or, you know, up to you guys. But please pick up Advent Rising.
Dark Mika, if THQ Nordic could fix some of their broken games with some of that fucking... What games are broken?
Them's fighting words.
I know. I think people use broken in ways... broken achievements. Big fucking... It's a fucking achievement. Jesus Christ, get over it. I don't know.
Hey, now.
Achievement whoring, I don't know. I'm over that. I'm over achievements, so...
I remember when you were the biggest achievement whore.
Yeah, I have a shitload of achievement points, and I, you know, if I could get an achievement in a game, I do, but if an achievement's broken, whatever.
I'm about to hit 250,000.
Well, GG.
Yay, me!
I just hit, like, what was it when I messaged you? And I just hit like 65 or something like that.
And I said, I'm slightly above you.
Yeah. I've been actively trying to get Stu to 30,000 for a long ass time. I don't know if I've even succeeded. Like, I just try to pull him into a game and hope it pops some achievements for him at this point. I think I popped like 8 or 9 in Crackdown for him last night. And he was just like, what are these? I haven't had one of these in forever. And I was like, oh my fucking God.
Oh, Lord.
I have to go look now. No, he's still at 25. I'm working on it. He's at 25,000.
Just gift them some Rattalaika or sometimes U titles that have easy completions.
I gave him a code for Game Pass I won recently, so I was like, here, look. The problem is that unless I'm playing it too, he won't. And I have to just drag his ass into it and hope that I can force some achievements on him.
Of course you want a code for Game Pass.
I was going to say, come on, Cole.
I know. I do. I really do. Like, I share, if I get Game Pass codes and stuff, I do try to pass them around.
Speaking of Game Pass, a lot of new additions coming to Game Pass that they announced this week. Available now is Batman Return to Arkham, Headlander, and Disney's Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. And then coming on February 28th is The Walking Dead Season 2 and Alien Isolation.
I'm excited about Alien Isolation because I haven't played that yet.
So some pretty good Game Pass additions. More reason to keep Game Pass, Jacob.
I'm also secretly hoping that since we've gotten The Walking Dead Season 1 and Season 2 recently, that maybe by April we'll get Season 4.
Season 3?
No, it's 4.
Is it 4?
Because wasn't it last month that Season 1 came out?
I thought the final season was 4, or was 3.
No, final season's 4.
Oh, okay.
Because I reviewed 3 for you, but then we didn't get 4.
You think I remember that shit? Come on.
I remember that shit.
I'm losing my mind.
That's why I'm the motherfucking co-host.
For now.
No, 3 was not Michonne. Michonne was a spinoff of its own, like a little side mini
story.
Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telltale put out too much shit. I can't keep track of it all.
Yeah. See how much good it did for them.
Yeah. Anyway, final bit of news I have, new Xbox backward compatibility additions. There were a shitload of games added this week. We have 5 new additions with Lost Planet, Lost Planet Colonies, Lost Planet 2, Lost Planet 3, and Resident Evil Code Veronica X. So we've got another complete series.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's kind of neat then. I don't know, I was never really big on Lost Planet.
Well, all 4 of them are available now on Xbox One.
Yeah, but Lost Planet Colonies was really just like a
game of the year edition of the first game, but because they have separate save files, they're considered separate games.
No, I remember it because I have like the limited edition version of Lost Planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the collector edition of Lost Planet in the steelbook, and then I also have Lost Planet Colonies that I purchased on sale. So I had all 4 of them ready to go.
Wow.
And Code Veronica. So I had all 5 ready to go. I have problems.
Yeah.
We know. We know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kay.
We still love you.
Speak for your damn self. No. I'm sorry. That was mean. It was just also, you know, opportunistic. It was an opportunity.
Yeah, that's my news for the week. Anybody got anything else to talk about, or should we move on?
Yeah.
Speaking of dicks.
But anything? No. Yes. No.
No. I got nothing.
All right. Well, then we are going to take a brief break. We're going to play a little musical interlude, and we will be back with our reviews on the show. So, Jacob, since you're leaving, do you have any final words?
No.
Helpful. Very helpful.
Always. I'm always helpful.
And we are back. That was a fun music break, huh?
Yes, it was fantastic.
It's not like an entire day has passed.
Not at all. We didn't have Twitch story time or anything like that.
Nope, it's just been 2 minutes of music and then back to us. That's it.
Exactly. Perfectly.
That's how this show is. We're the best at this. We are. I don't edit anything. Oh, I fake it well enough. Anyway, we have reviews that we got to take care of. It was nice that Jacob was here, but we got shit we got to take care of. We got reviews, games we got to talk about. Are you ready to do this?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be. So let's roll.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Astroneer, developed and published by System Era Softworks, released February 6th on Xbox One and PC for $29.99. Explore and reshape distant worlds. Astroneer is set during the 25th century intergalactic age of discovery, where astroneers explore the frontiers of outer space, risking their lives in harsh environments to unearth rare discoveries and unlock the mysteries of the universe. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this is a 3D survival adventure. I tend to say it's a little more on the survival light side, though. Yeah, you do have to watch like your oxygen and the battery on your backpack. But you don't have to worry about food and a health bar beyond your oxygen. So it's not as intense survival as, say, like Ark or something in that regard.
So it won't scare off someone like me who's not a fan of survival.
No, it's perfectly suited for somebody who's just trying to like dip their toes into a survival game.
Gotcha.
That's not to say that there are not things that want to kill you and that there are not things that want to kill you in cruel and unusual ways.
Nice.
You will die, but there is not a roguelite aspect or anything for this survival game. Again, survival light. You can save. Anytime you have your little astronaut sit in his little space pod, he gets to save. And if you die, you just come back out of your space pod. So it's totally, totally manageable. You do lose whatever you have in your backpack, though, when you die. Your backpack is your primary survival tool, as it often is in a survival game. You usually have some kind of cache or inventory or backpack. Starting off, though, your backpack is very small and you can carry very few things. You're going to mostly want to use it to collect compound to start with. Compound in the world tends to just look like these gray bubble caches, if you will. They're just kind of gray bubbles that are on the surface, and you can use your collection tool to collect them. As you collect items in the world, though, you don't just disturb the world. It actually will create craters in the earth. And if you're not careful, your happy ass will fall in those and you'll wind up in some mines where you're going to die to cruel and unusual things. Now, I mentioned that before, but it bears repeating. I died to some really crazy shit.
What kind of crazy shit did you die to?
There was one point I was really early in the game still. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go. I'm going to be brave. You want to explore the caverns. You need to find different resources. It is a survival game. And your primary function is collect resources, progress through the technology, get off the planet, and go to the next one. Not the stuff you run into, though, is not always nice. And you'll be going into these caverns, and you're like, look, I'm so proud of me. I collected a lot of compound. I made a lot of tethering cord. You have to stay tethered to your base or you'll run out of oxygen.
Mm.
So and energy. You can go for a little while, but you want to come back. And by a little while, I mean like 15 steps.
Oh, God.
Not too far. But you'll want to go into these caves and explore. And that's what I did. And I was like, oh, that's a cool looking resource. I don't know what it is. It was kind of purpley and pulsating. And I'm like, I like vibrant colored things. Let's see what this does. So I tried to suck it up in my little resource collecting gun. I forget what the proper name for that is. But I sucked it up in my little resource vacuum and it exploded and it made like a cloud of purple fog and I died.
Nice.
I just like when a little astronaut just clutches his throat and goes blah, and tips over and I'm like, holy fuck.
So avoid the throbbing purple things.
Yeah, that's pretty much like a solid tip for life, period. Not just in this game, but overall.
Very true.
There are animals lurking around underneath. Like there was a worm thing, and I just freaked out. Anytime I saw anything that moved on its own, I just ran away from it. And that seemed to be a pretty solid way to deal with things, because you don't have any actual combat. There are no weapons. You're only there to research, collect, and get out. So knowing that things can kill you, there's a plant that like straight up whiplashes you with some kind of tongue looking thing that comes out of the middle of it and just whee, sends you flying.
Oh God.
And if you don't have enough oxygen in your tank to get you back to one of your tethers, well, at least you get to see the inside of your spaceship again. I absolutely love though that it's so cutesy and like bright and vibrant, and yet you're just gonna die in horrible ways because of your own ignorance.
Nice.
The game doesn't set out to put you in any kind of situation. Everything you do, because it is a survival sandbox, everything you do is your own damn fault. So if you die, it's because you went and did something that you probably had an inclination you shouldn't be doing. That risk and reward is all in your head. There's no XP. There's no leveling system. It's just you being able to collect the resources to build the things that you need. And if you're going to do that, you have to push yourself further away from your base. You have to push yourself out there. I will say, you can find other wreckages around the planets where other people have tried. I don't think that they're actually tied to anybody dying in the game. That would be cool. Like if you were on a planet and kind of like near where you could find other people's dead bodies, yeah. That would have been awesome. It does not do that though. They are just like standard. They just pop up kind of. Well, that's I'm exploring over this hill and oh, there's a wreckage. You can find things that you need for your base at those wreckages. And that's great, but there were so many of them that it kind of felt like I was progressing and having way too much shit that I didn't deserve yet. Like, oh, I only took 10 steps away from the base, but look at my new windmill. You know?
God.
I've got solar power already. I don't even know what this plant is over here and if it's going to eat me, but I've got solar power. So it did kind of like, it helped, because if you were stuck, then you knew you could just go looking for a wreckage. And maybe if you lucked out, you'd find something useful that would help kickstart you. But otherwise, it was just kind of like, I have too much shit I don't deserve yet.
I like how you just outright say that you don't deserve it.
Don't deserve it. You really don't. Because
I didn't
you're like,
earn this.
You're like, I'm 15 steps from my base, and here's a full solar panel and a large printer. So I'm making everything now. Like, I was so proud of myself when I fumbled around enough to make, like, a small storage shelf so that I could unload my backpack properly and have shit where I could see it rather than just dumping it on the ground in front of my station.
Oh God.
And then like I wander off a little bit. I finally get a pretty good distance I can travel, and you know, I'm over a hill or so, and it's like, oh, here's a large one. And I'm going, God damn it, I just went through all that to build a small one and I was so proud, and like here's this just been sitting here.
So, oh boy. What are we gonna do with you?
That can be a little disappointing when you just feel like it's kind of, I guess given that everything can murder you in such strange ways, maybe that's their way of balancing that out. But I did feel like there were times where I was just getting shit I did not deserve.
That's such a weird complaint to have.
Yeah. I think that it would be, It would be a little different if you were playing in multiplayer, I think. And that you, because you'd have two of you working together and you'd be finding these things, you would have to share them amongst each other, though, and your resources, that maybe having these things be so heavily populated around the planets wouldn't be so so much like a gimme. Because I wasn't having to share resources or anything. It was just like, oh, well, I'm just going to take this for myself now. Yeah. You know, I wasn't trying to get two people off of a planet. I was just trying to get me and fuck everybody else. That said, you can play multiplayer. But the game does have some multiplayer issues. I didn't have anybody to play a multiplayer with, so I had to go do some research. It does seem like the developers are aware of it. There was an update that was pushed yesterday that fixed some of the issues. Like, one of the things was if you pushed a button too many times while you were sitting in one of the little save seats, then, like, it ejected everybody off the planet or something crazy.
Oh, my Lord.
But they were able to fix things like that in the patch. So they are aware. They are still continuing to release. Like, there was a patch yesterday. It just come out of game preview. They're very adamant to fixing the issues. It does look like dedicated servers are coming. There is a tab for servers, but it just says not available yet. So you may end up, which would be pretty cool if it, you know, goes the typical survival route like Conan and Ark, and has servers that you can set up where you can explore with a large group of people. That would be pretty awesome. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a tether limit to how far you and your friend can get apart from each other when you're playing multiplayer right now. Which is also common to the genre. If you played Ark, the tether limit is 300 meters. You can't get very far away from each other. And I think that most of the complaints about lagging in frames per second and stuff happening, the frame drops that are happening in multiplayer do seem to be tied to that multiplayer tether aspect as opposed to the game itself. When I played it single player, I didn't have any problems. They did, I know I keep fussing that it seems like there's just shit everywhere, but they did actually decrease how many resources are around. So, there are certain rocks and plants and things that you can research, and basically you walk up to them, you scan them, and then you get the game's currency, which is called a byte, a BYT. You get bytes, which you use as currency so that you can, you know, pay for, say, a large printer instead of a medium one, if you don't happen to find it. but it seemed like in earlier versions of the game, which I did not play game preview, I went to go look for videos on it to see what was different between game preview and what I played. And because I figured somebody would be like, but what's the difference? So it looked like in game preview that those were a lot more frequent. The ability to earn large amounts of bytes were just kind of everywhere. And that is not my experience. I had to go pretty far to start finding resources that I could research. And there's not a lot in the way, like, there's a tutorial and it teaches you the basics of, like, how to use your backpack and everything. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the actual game, you will run into shit that the tutorial never explains to you at all. And you're like, okay, well, I've got a great big giant rock that says it's research, you know, the research computer compatible, but I can't put it on the research computer and I don't know why. Like, how do I break it down? Because if you try to use your resource vacuum, it just sucks up the whole rock and picks it up. And it's like, okay, well, I would like for it to maybe tell me what I'm doing wrong. The HUD is extremely limited. It doesn't come up with anything. Everything is contained to your backpack, with the exception of, like, oh, if you can scan an item, it will say press Y to scan. So a little more hand-holding, at least on the first planet, would be nice.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I think it's a blast. I had so much fun playing it. I'm considering gifting it to Studo so that I can make him play it with me. Because I just really want to get a chance to spend multiplayer time with it, because I've enjoyed it so well.
Well, then I guess the only question is $30. What's your verdict?
It's definitely worth it, and you should buy it.
Okay, I will.
Yay!
Actually, I might already have it. I may have picked it up during a game preview sale.
You probably do. You have everything.
Yeah, I do.
See, you could have played it with me.
Close to it. Well, you didn't ask me.
I didn't think you had it.
I don't know if I have it. I might.
Oh.
That's it could have been something I picked up on a sale. I don't remember. Because I have too much shit that I can't remember.
Good luck going through your ready to install.
Oh, there's only like 9 things in my ready to install because everything is installed.
Even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, developed by Prideful Sloth, published by Merge Game. It's releasing February 27th on Xbox One for $29.99. Unwind and enjoy the slow life in Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, a relaxing open world adventure game. Yonder is set in the world of Gemia or Gemia. How do they say it?
They don't. There's no voice acting.
Oh, okay, so the world of Gemia, a natural island paradise with 8 distinct environments ranging from tropical beaches to snow-capped summits. Cole, what is Yonder?
So this is kind of like... I lost my notes. I accidentally closed the tab. Now I have to try that again.
Proud of you.
All right, so this is kind of inspired by a lot of classic Nintendo games. There's a little bit of Zelda-like gameplay in there. There's some farming mechanics. There's a lot of adventure. There's no combat, however. This is a 3D open world. It is the world of, I'm assuming it's Gamia. I've seen it spelled different ways. I don't think anybody knows how to pronounce it except the developers.
It's Gemia, so I went with Gemia. I don't know.
There was a place in the game that was spelled Gamea, though. So, weird. I mean, I've seen it different, and I'm sitting there going, like, I don't know which one it is.
Fun.
Somebody's made a typo somewhere. But it's an overarching world. It's just massive, and it's broken down into different biomes. You play as a nameless child protagonist. You have no voice. You're just basically a shell. You can customize what your character looks like. You can choose their gender. You can choose their clothes, choose their hair color. If you name it, you can change it. You will start the game on a boat, and you've been told that you need to go back to the world where your family was from in order to uncover who you really are. You have a mysterious past, and there's a whole lot of things that are just up in the air, if you will. But as you get close to this mysterious hidden island that nobody but your family knows how to find, then there's a storm that causes the ship to wreck. So you find yourself washed on the shores of this mystery place, the world that you're in. And I keep losing my place in my notes. It's like a great big wall of text on this one. I should have formatted it better. I'm sorry.
Proud of you again.
I was just typing as I was in. Yeah, it got a little unruly. The world is full of NPCs who will give you no shortage of fetch quests.
Nice.
That will basically amount to you just moving all over the island. This is where I get to my first complaint about the game.
Okay.
I keep saying that this world is huge, and I don't think that I have enough words to properly describe how big and how many diverse biomes are in this game. To the point that eventually you start to like unlock fast travel totems that take you into a separate world so that you can go through these, I think it's called a sage stone, if I remember. And you have to like walk through its mouth. It takes you into the hub area where you can choose which one you want to go back into. There's very little in the way of directions to help you find your way around. You just end up wandering aimlessly and hoping you come across what you need to eventually.
No.
There is a mini map, thank goodness. And it will, you know, whatever quest you have active, then it will basically give you a straight shot to whoever gave you that quest. So once you've found the items, you can go back. But there's no way to get a map overview.
Nah.
So there's no full-fledged total map that you can just look at and go, okay, I have a quest, I'm close to this one, I'm close to that one, I'm close to... There's no distance, there's no waypoints that you can put down. And you're just like...
Overwhelmed with how much there is?
Yes. And then you just find yourself completely lost in it all. To the point that in order to properly enjoy the game, I just found myself racking up as many possible quests as I could get in an area. And then striking out. And every time I come across a quest, I'd take it. And then eventually, I'd play for like an hour or so. And then I would just stop. And I would load up my quest menu and I would start looking through to see which ones I had completed.
Nice.
And then I would, because the line takes you straight back to that quest giver. So then I would just like go, oh, I've got this one completed. I'll go straight back to this dude. And hopefully I'll catch something else along the way that's necessary for the other ones. One unique thing about the game is that it doesn't have, not having combat isn't unique. We've seen that a lot. Even Astroneer, it has no combat. But there's no combat. There's no leveling system. There's no timer. There's no requirement to do anything that you're going to do. You do it at your own pace and whether you want to or not. Do you want to experience that part of the story? Do you give a damn about the farming aspect? Fine. Farm. If you don't, don't. Just don't bother with the farms. You can totally play the entire game. And never farm a thing.
Nice.
You can buy everything from shopkeepers if you'd rather go that route. If you'd rather just, you know, explore and see what there is, you can do that. If you'd rather sit somewhere and farm for a while, you can do that. You can pay the NPCs with food and they'll farm for you. And then you get the best of both worlds. You get to go do whatever the fuck you want and you come back and you have Gruffle milk and everything's good. Speaking of the Gruffles, there are really creative, unique characters for animals in this world. You can tell what they're kind of based off of from real life. Like, basically, the Gruffles are buffalo.
Mm.
And there's another one that looks like a llama or an alpaca. There are frabbits, which are obviously big-headed rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The animals are not as heavily populated in the world as you would think that they're going to be. You can walk into this huge field and you might see two Gruffalo, three tops.
Damn.
And you're just like, well, don't overdo it or anything. One thing about them, though, and I think that's what makes this is what makes it frustrating that there aren't a whole lot of them. You can befriend them, and then they'll follow you. So, if you, like, the Gruffles, I'm really struggling. The Gruffles like a certain type of seed. So, if you craft that seed by finding that flower and then using the craft ability to basically break it down to a seed, then you feed them the seed, they'll follow you for a little while. If you get them to follow you to your farm, and you have an animal house built there. Yay, it's now your Gruffalo or Gruffle. God damn. And you get to keep it forever. And it makes you milk. The farming aspect, though, is very underdeveloped. It's rudimentary as far as a farming game goes. If you're looking at this and thinking, oh, I'm going to play this like Stardew Valley, or oh, I'm going to play this like even like Farm Together or anything like that. No, you're not. I'm sorry, but the farming isn't that in-depth. It's literally build a seed plot, put some seeds in it, come back later. Build a large animal house, put a Gruffle in it, come back later. There's a chest in the front that will already have the milk in it for you. nothing has to be picked up except for poop.
Oh, God.
For whatever weird reason, they put everything else nice and neat in the storage box at the front of your farm. And you don't even have to go onto the farm if you don't want to. But if you don't, then poo just starts to collect everywhere. Just little piles of poo, neatly piled up all over your farm. Each farm has a rating system. And if you're not doing a good job of producing valuable products, or which is basically just hoarding the animals so they do it automatically, or cleaning up that poo, then your farm rating will go down and the NPCs will be annoyed with you and won't give you quests. So you have to build everything up. Likewise,
and clean up poop.
And clean up the poo. Likewise, if you're just walking around and you're chopping down the trees and you don't ever plant a tree back, you'll piss off the NPCs. You have to build the world back up and put back what you take out, essentially.
That's cool.
So it is a balancing act. That's probably about the most high maintenance that this game gets. It's very easy to just sit back and play it and look at the clock and be like, oh, I've lost 8 hours because you were just exploring. But it would be a lot easier to navigate. And that's really the biggest complaint about it. It's just, you get so lost. In the beginning, you're fairly locked down to the biome that you start off in because there's a purple fog all over the world called murk. And the murk blocks off certain pathways to get to different biomes and villages and wherever you want to go. The way to unlock the murk is to find sprites. If you miss a sprite, you might want to make an appointment with a doctor and get your eyes checked. Because literally anywhere that they're hiding glows bright blue with little magic embers and sparks floating in the air. Like if miss it, there's something wrong with you.
Oh, God.
The only difference is that some of the sprites are locked inside a puzzle. So, like, you may need to rotate some statues, or you might need to do a certain quest for a specific NPC and they will have a sprite. But as you collect the sprites, they accumulate, and you can actually set which one is active and following you at a time, or which one shows up in your cutscenes. But it doesn't change anything about the game or anything like that. Doesn't have any ability other than it just lets you unlock the murk. But as I said, it's accumulative. So you get to one area and it'll say, you know, you need 2 sprites to unlock it. You don't lose those sprites. So when you get to the next area and it says, oh, you need 4 sprites, then you've only needed to find 2 more to the 2 that you already had. That's You'll good. Already be at 2 out of 4. So I went on a spree of just like collecting sprites fairly early on. And then within an hour or so, I was walking around just unlocking murk left, right, and center without having to even look for any extra sprites. I was just opening up all these different areas.
Nice.
So you go from small, you know, spot you can start with to giant world very quickly. It is a very charming game. It's incredibly adorable. It's very relaxing to play. I like that you can play it at your own pace. It suffers from navigation issues.
Yeah, this is one that I've had my eye on for a while, so I'm glad that we got to cover this one. And I want to know your opinion, $30. What do you think on the game?
I do give it a buy it. I hope that the developers hear the complaints about the navigation and make some kind of overview map so that you can, you know, set waypoints and stuff. I'm not holding my breath because this came out on Steam like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's been on all the other consoles already. So it's about time it's on Xbox. If
they haven't changed that up until now, they're probably not gonna. But a girl can dream.
True.
So,
and something else to keep in mind, if you pre-order it, you get 15% off. So I might have to pre-order it before it comes out.
Is it not out yet? I know my embargo was the 18th.
The embargo was the 20th, and it releases the 27th.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. You still have pre-order time. Go do it.
Got a couple days left to pre-order that baby.
Nice.
Doc Havoc, dude, he's going to pre. I swear to God. By the way, I love that we're already a half hour into this and we've covered two games.
I'm sorry. And here I was sitting there worrying that I wasn't saying enough.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Old Man's Journey, developed and published by Broken Rules, released March 4th on Xbox One for $9.99, previously available on the Switch and PS4. Old Man's Journey, a soul-searching puzzle adventure, tells a story of life, loss, reconciliation, and hope. Entrenched in a beautifully sun-kissed and handcrafted world, embark on a heartfelt journey interwoven with lighthearted and pressure-free puzzle-solving. This game's adorable.
Yes, it is. I love the art style. It looks very much like it's chalk pastel, almost.
It's like a playable cartoon, and I loved it.
Yeah, it's just, it's so pretty, too. I think there were a couple parts where I was just like, I hope I'm past embargo because I took a screenshot. It was just too pretty not to.
I don't think we had an embargo on it.
I don't think we do. I think it didn't even come out until the 1st. So
March 4th.
Fourth, see, even later than what I thought.
Yes. You gotta listen when I say this stuff. It's right in the description.
There's not a lot of difference between the first and the fourth, so it sounded about the same.
Wah. Anyway, but, so tell us about this game.
So this is a very relaxing puzzle game. It's a relaxing weekend, and we're not pushing anything difficult here.
We're gonna get there.
You know, go ahead and crush everybody's hopes and dreams. I was trying to forget we have to review that one just because it was hard. It's a struggle. But for Old Man's Journey, this is a it's weird to say it's a narrative game when there's no words at all. There's no text, there's no dialogue. But it is the story of a man who falls in love with a girl, which is told through flashbacks. As you guide the old man through his journey, title, you will experience flashbacks about his relationship with this girl and their marriage and their children. And then he makes decisions that may or may not have been right. That's whether they're right or not is up to interpretation. But everything that has happened leads him to be on this journey. So the way that the game is actually played is that there you will be presented with a scene. Everything goes together seamlessly from scene to scene. And how do you explain this? The world is kind of broken down into layers. And you need to move those layers so that he can make the journey through the scene. So you'll have...
Basically, imagine like a bunch of hills.
Yeah, you'll have hills.
And you can shift the planes up and down so that you could jump from hill to hill as long as they're connecting. It is really hard to describe, but in practice, it makes sense.
Yeah, like as soon, there's no tutorial or anything, and yet you still just very easily figure out what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the screen as far as a HUD beyond you have a pointer, a literal hand with a pointer finger as your cursor. And as long as the man is not standing on a hill, you can move it. You can move it up and down. To some degree, some of the hills have a little bit of back and forth wiggle room. They get more complicated as you go, as the way that you can move them. You'll need two hills to intersect. So basically, in order to move the little man forward or backward through the plains, on the hills, you need to make two intersect, and then he can cross over them. This does get more involved as you carry on. There will be one segment where he's on a train, for example. And if you're
That section was endless, it felt.
Did you do it in one swoop?
No, I didn't.
No, I got the achievement. I did it in one swoop.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I'm so good. I got the completion in this game. The train is moving along, and if it gets to a point where you don't have the tracks connected, it will make an emergency stop. The goal, though, is to get through that whole chapter moving the tracks up and down on their planes like you have been with the hills without that train having to stop. It goes super fast at the end for a game that is really relaxing and you're just like holding your breath like, oh my gosh, please let these connect. It's an absolutely beautiful experience. I got a little teary-eyed at the end.
Aww.
I did. I'm emotional. I'm a basket case. And I'm just like, I can't. But it is a touching game. And it's meant to be. It's meant to tell the story. And it's meant to trigger emotions. And they do a very good job of that, even without ever uttering a word.
Yeah. If I had one complaint about the game, it is a fairly short experience.
Yeah, it is.
This is something you could complete in under 2 hours.
Yeah. And that is, I can get where it's like, okay, well, it's short and that's a complaint. But at the same time, it tells its story and it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah.
Like there's not any unnecessary padding. It's not repetition for the sake of making you do it. The puzzles gradually get more complicated. There's some later on where you've got to maneuver the guy around the sheep. And the sheep will only go to certain patches. So you have to, move the hills, move the sheep, move the dude, move the hills again, move the sheep again, move the guy again. And some of these get really involved and you can spend a good little chunk of time just trying to figure out, the proper way to move those sheep and get everybody where they need to be. There isn't a chapter select from the menu, so if you cut out, I don't think it lets you go back. I played the whole thing in one fell swoop.
Oh, there is a chapter select.
Is there? I know. Yes. At the end, after you beat it, you can access the chapter select and go back and get what you've missed because the achievements are missable. Most of them are missable in some way or another. If you just kind of haphazardly click around the world, you're going to trigger some of them. Because a lot of them are just for clicking on certain characters. What they did though with the achievements that I really liked, if you remember, the whole story itself doesn't have any dialogue. So if you click on an NPC that's in the background doing something kind of mundane or whatever, the achievement will pop and it'll give you some detail about that character. Like there's one for finding a girl in the garage that's working on her bike, and the achievement will pop and tell you her name, and that she used to, as a toddler, she used to get into the garage and get into her dad's tools. I just love that was such a creative way to tie the achievements in and give you more information.
Yeah.
There's another one where there's a woman hanging out, an old cranky looking woman. Me. Hanging out of a window. And if you click on her, it tells you that she's a busybody and she's town gossip, And so it was so creative to work the achievements into the story like that.
What are you banging?
I had to move my chair. my leg was getting stiff.
Well, and before you're
stop because I realized that it was going to pick it up. And I was like, well.
Before your leg gets any more stiff, $10 on Old Man's Journey. What do you think?
Buy it. This was probably my favorite this week. Even though it's short and it's sweet, like I said, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's just a really enjoyable puzzle game.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. It's beautiful. It's charming. It plays well. It's unique. It is just a really, really solid game. If you don't mind a shorter experience, $10 is totally worth it.
Absolutely.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Degrees of Separation, developed by Moondrop, published by Modus Games, released February 14th on Xbox, Switch, PC, and PS4 for $19.99. Degrees of Separation is a puzzle platformer where cooperation is built into every move. Two contrasting souls, Ember and Rhyme, fall in love, but are separated by an enigmatic force and must use their powers to progress through a spectacular world of fantasy and adventure. Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and here's what she's got to say. Degrees of Separation is a 2D puzzle platformer made to be played both solo or co-op. You control Ember and or Rhyme, a girl of summer and a boy of winter. Their world is split seemingly in two, with summer being constant in Ember's land and winter in Rhyme's. It comes off their bodies even. When they are close, there's a line where it suddenly shifts from one season to the other. There's a problem with the planet, though. The seasons seem to be mixing in a way that they shouldn't be, and both set out to figure out why and end up meeting each other. They decide to work together even though they don't know or trust each other. To them, the other is the only other person there is, and someone is to blame for what's happening to the world. They also slowly fall for each other, which is adorable. The game has a simple but really cool mechanic of having the screen split in half, with part of it being summer and the other part being winter, which changes the landscape. It allows you to roll logs up in snow to get to higher places, or freezing water to run across it, but only if Rhyme is on that side to let winter exist on the side. Each level of the game gives you a new mechanic. They sadly don't stay the whole game, but they are really cool nonetheless. In one level, when you get too close, you cause an explosion, sending both characters across the screen. In another, they create a bridge where the split on the screen is at whatever angle it was made, so whatever the characters run up or across the bridge but can't pass through it. The game is made more for multiplayer than single player. Sometimes the speed that you need to change between characters to get them to do what you need is really hard if you're playing single player than if you were playing multiplayer. Timing would be an issue. In single player, you have the character follow you. They tend to be less than a second behind your own actions if you have them follow while close to you. Granted, the AI isn't always very smart. I've had them not know when to jump onto a rope till I get near the bottom of it. Everything is doable in single player, just slightly more difficult. That being said, the difficulty issue only exists if you're trying to get all the collectible scarves that are in most of the levels. There's a bunch in almost every level. When you get to checkpoints, it will show you constellations on the top of the screen, which show black spots instead of stars for ones in the level you haven't collected. They provide more story to the game, and that story tends to be fairly cute as it tells the player of the two characters getting closer to each other. The PC version I found was better than the console version. The line mentioned previously between the characters isn't as straight on the console version, and the bridge I mentioned doesn't show up on that line. It shows up far under it, so a patch needs to come out to fix that, so it makes the whole level more doable to obtain the collectibles. There's also a patch coming out, at least for PC, but likely everywhere, I would think, that's going to let the multiplayer be online co-op instead of just local. For $20, I put at least 10 hours into the 8 levels the game has. It was really enjoyable. Collecting scarves sometimes requires really cool, unique uses of the character's powers in that level. There's also 2 endings. After you beat the game, you can continue and beat the last level again and go the other route. It's really cool. I cannot emphasize how much I like this game. Yeah, the bridge level annoyed the shit out of me because there's some weird thing going on the Xbox One for that level, which I expect will be patched, but you could still manage even with that. The only people that won't like this are people who get frustrated easily at puzzles because you really want to get through all the, or really want to get all the scarves through the 6 levels they appear in, and it adds a lot to the story, but some of them are fairly complicated to get. Everyone else, I can't recommend this game enough. I love this damn game.
When he said the Ember and Rhyme thing, I was like, oh, wait a second, we've talked about this game before.
Yeah, we previewed it a couple of weeks ago, and now we have the full review, and it looks like Dark Mika really enjoyed it.
Very nice.
Good stuff. I might have to pick that one up.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Good stuff. All right, next game to talk about, this is where the difficulty ramps up. It's called Almost There, the Platformer, developed and published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild, released February 19th on Xbox One, Steam, and PS4, February 21st on the Switch for $9.99. Sprint between saw blades while dodging homing missiles, duck under lasers while the floor crumbles beneath you. Almost There was designed specifically for fans of hardcore platforming genre. You've been warned. Cole, how difficult is this game?
So I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you have to.
You know what's heartbreaking is that when I started the game, I was like, I got this. The first few levels, I'm just like breezing through them, getting all the stars. I'm knocking everything out. I'm like, I'm fucking good at this. And then,
but then
I hit a literal wall and I spent 2 days on one level. And then I messaged you and was like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? I kid you not.
Yeah. This is a Masocore platformer. So if you're a fan of Meat Boy, similar games like that, you are going to love this game. It gets very hard, very quick, and it doesn't care if you don't get the hang of it.
No, it is unapologetic at all about its difficulty. And it's so innocuous, even, because the game, you literally are controlling a small square. And you're like, okay, I'm going to jump over pits, and I'm going to avoid spikes, and then there's lasers, and they move, and there's nowhere to go. Never mind, I'm done. Some of these levels turn into absolute mazes. Just trying to platform itself is difficult. But then you've got to sit and figure out the timing on lasers. And you know that you're going to be given a star rating at the end. And if you die a whole bunch, it's like, haha, fuck you, do it again. And it's so unapologetic that you're just going to feel defeated. The first time it really throws it in your face that you don't know what you're doing. It's just utter defeat.
It is.
I remember setting the controller down and just staring at the level as it would cycle through the animation of, it was level 117, in case anybody's concerned, how fast it went shitty. I had 16 levels of being awesome, and then I hit a literal brick wall made out of, it's a brick wall, and then it's just like laced with lasers that move up and down and hate you. That's level 117, and it's my nemesis now.
I can only imagine the developer sitting listening to this like, yes, we got them.
This is the shit that they want when they make these kind of games. I mean, look at Electronic Super Joy and Super Meat Boy. And that's the goal of these kind of games, is just to be obscenely difficult.
I mean, they're warning us in the description. They specifically say you've been warned.
Yeah. And you always ask me when I want a review, and you're always like, you know, check it out, make sure it's what you want. And I go to YouTube, and I go looking around, and I'm like, I looked at the videos on YouTube for this. I'm like, I can do that. No, nobody in a video showed me level 117.
Gray Quantum, give up, console edition.
Yeah, because you're never really almost there. There are 155 levels in 3 worlds. And I spent 2 days stuck on the 17th.
Out of 155.
Yeah. Until I messaged you and was like, help, please.
The wall. The bottom laser eventually goes away.
That laser did not want to go away. And the interesting, they've given some interesting mechanics to how you maneuver that little square in these worlds. And it doesn't make it any easier. You're able to hug the wall, like you said, and you can jump and double jump and all that shit. But you can jump out, like away from a wall or whatever, and then you can move your thumbstick left or right, and it's almost like an additional jump in that you will jerk that direction a little one way or the other. And it doesn't help. Like, those lasers are still coming for you. The saws are still going to get you.
The moving spikes are still going to get you.
There's just death waiting around every
missiles
corner. And it's hard.
So this is a tale of two reviews, pretty much. If you are a fan of super hard platformers, you are going to love this game, and for $10, there's an ungodly amount of content here to play.
It's very impressive.
And I'd say if you like hard platformers, this is an absolute buy it. If you are scared of hard platformers, run, because this game doesn't give a shit, and it will beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah. And it doesn't even give you the glory of, like, the moaning sounds like the Electronic Super Joy. At least we got orgasms on death and Electronic Super Joy. This one's just like, no, fuck you, you died, do it again. And then all you can do is be like, yes, sure.
I will. I'll do it again. And again.
I was almost there.
I promise I'll do better. I'm so sorry. So what are your thoughts on this one for $10? I gave my thoughts. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. For $10, the quality of the level design and the quality of the controls and everything and how many levels are there, by and large, makes it a buy easy. But it's only for people who are hardcore masochistic beasts at platformers. Like, if you play a platformer and, you know, like, what is that one that was from Rattalaika that was super easy?
Oh, was I don't
Jack
remember.
And Jill DX. If oh, that's yeah. your idea of a platformer and that was challenging, just go ahead and save your $10.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you breeze through Electronic Super Joy and you're pissed that Electronic Super Joy 2 isn't out yet, here you go.
Yeah.
That's really like the biggest game you can compare it to as far as similarity goes.
Yeah. Electronic Super Joy, Super Meat Boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that genre. If you love that genre, you will love this game.
Yeah. Because it is really well done. It's just not for everybody.
Yeah. This game will hate you and you will love it.
You're going to need a box of tissues beside of you, but for a different reason than normal.
Oh, God.
You're going to need to dry your tears.
Oh,
or you
Lord.
Just lick them because, you know, salt is...
Drink your own tears for
drink
fuel.
Drink your own tears because that's going to be all that keeps you going.
All right, well, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called Unexplored Unlocked Edition, developed by Nephilim Game Studios and Ludomotion, published by Digirati, released February 19th on PS4, 22nd on Xbox One for $14.99. Descend into the depths of the Dungeon of Doom and complete your quest. Steal the Amulet of Yendor from the Fearsome Dragon and make it out alive. Cole, tell us about this one.
I didn't make it out alive.
Shocker.
At all. I love roguelite dungeon crawlers most of the time. you know, when I think of these kind of games that are procedurally generated and everything, I think of like Binding of Isaac, The Story Goes On. That's kind of like super hard and super not hard in the same breath, but Unexplored just throws you in with no hope.
Oh, God.
You have a completely uninspiring character. It's a top down. You basically got the top of the little Cyclops dude's head. You can customize him, but don't get attached. He's going to die. sorry, spoiler alert. You are literally crawling through dungeons. You want to clear a floor, go down to the next one. The highlight of this game is how solid the procedural generation is. A lot of times we play procedurally generated games and you can kind of see where the algorithms piece them together. And you're like, well, you can tell those two walls probably weren't meant to butt up to each other like that. you don't really feel like that with the dungeons in this game. When you're playing it, it feels almost like it was carefully crafted for you to go this way and that way. I did have some problems, however. One of my better runs, I was several floors down, and I got to a point where either I'm really fucking stupid, or there was no solution to the doors. And I'm not sure which it was.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, it could go either way. In all honesty, like I spent a shit ton of time in this one floor and I never found the solution. I even gave up to the point that I stood on the spikes and let them kill me so that I could just start all over again because I was like, I'm not getting anywhere else. I can't.
Wow.
That said, the procedural generation is generally really good. You're not obliged to go through all of the different areas in a floor. And that was one of the things that I liked about it. There wasn't this necessary urge to check every room. There was more risk to doing it and not necessarily an equal amount of reward. It benefited you to play smarter rather than just try to go kill everything. There isn't any kind of level or XP system. Again, we've seen that on a roll this week for some reason. But you can pick up gold and that carries over between runs. And you can pay at the beginning of runs for tips, which sometimes also come with additional weapons. But each run basically starts you bare bones beyond that. Whether or not you get an extra weapon in the beginning is just kind of dumb luck. My biggest issue with the game is that it doesn't feel like it's key bound to the controller very well. The screen is kind of split into thirds, with one section having an obituary feed. You know, you've gone down a floor, you killed this, you picked up gold, whatever, with a map up above. And then the other side has your character information. So, you know, what weapons you have equipped, what armor, and things like that, what you have in your inventory. Trying to navigate back and forth between these was a total pain in the ass. And I would find myself leaving shit on the ground and then walking back by and being like, now I know for a damn fact I picked that up. And yet there it would be, because it just was difficult to get things to maneuver back and forth between, yes, I want this, no, I don't. And you could very easily think you had successfully picked up something and dropped something else, only to find it sitting there. An interesting thing that I learned very quickly, though, is don't just leave shit behind, because even if it's not good, take it anyway, because sometimes you will come across altars and you can give your shitty stuff to the altar and you'll get a boost in your damage, or you'll move a little quicker, just little things like that to kind of help you out. But even with the boosts and the little tweaks that can make it better, you're still going to find yourself wanting to limit how much you actually engage with enemies, because combat is kind of clunky.
In what way?
You have a primary and a secondary. Most of the time I found myself with daggers and a sword, and so I was forced to get close with anything I wanted to interact with. There are arrows and stuff. I found them very rarely. So you're forced to get close to whatever you want to interact with. When you use your primary, it immediately rotates your character and uses your secondary until the cooldown on the primary is over with. And so it's constantly shifting you back and forth, and you may not have the weapon in your hand that you're expecting when you go to make a strike. So if you get in a situation where there are a lot of enemies, and some of them have some insane amounts of enemies, then you can find yourself at a disadvantage because you're just not moving fast enough between, and you may not have the weapon that you need at the time. You can't just keep constantly swinging your sword or your spear. You're going to eventually get shifted to your daggers. And that can be a pain in the ass. That said, like I said, there's no real clear benefit to exploring every room anyway. So you can absolutely just use the switches to lock down certain areas, and then enemies are just kind of stuck where they are, and they can't come out after you, and you don't have to go in after them.
Good, fuck them.
You can carry on. One thing I thought that was odd is that, yeah, obviously the game is procedurally generated. I've mentioned that a couple of times. But the access to the floor below, you can't just like bolt through a floor. You have to explore it to some extent. And then the game will actually pop up a little message at the bottom that will say, a new floor has been procedurally generated for you. And it's like, well, I mean, that's the point, right? you don't need to tell me that. But then I had a weird quirk where it would do that, and I was like, is it telling me I need to go on? What if I'm not done? What if I want to look over here? I don't want to go yet. I'm not ready. But it's already been like, well, no, we already made the floor, bitch. Go down the stairs.
Even the games now are telling you to just get on with it.
Just get on with it. Quit fucking around with the map in the corner. They're not going to drop you any more gold.
Well, overall, $15 on this one. What are your thoughts on it?
I do give it a try, but I don't think that it's suitable for new roguelite players. I think because of the puzzle aspect of it, and because the controls are clunky and not well suited for a controller, it can be a little difficult for new guys. Start with something a little more forgiving, because once you die, you're fucked, and that's it. You're starting over from scratch. But I do think that more advanced roguelite fans are going to enjoy it. I thought it was fun, even though I would get frustrated when I would get completely stuck. So I do think it deserves to try it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yay.
Well, that is it for this episode. We finally made it through. It's been a long one. Thanks again to Jacob for coming on and bullshitting with us and talking Crackdown and Nintendo news and those rumors, man. I don't know what's going on with this stuff. It seems that they're picking up more traction. And from what I'm hearing, a day after we recorded all the other stuff, because obviously we don't record all on the same day, the rumors are just getting stronger. And they're saying it's not a when, it's not an if, it's a when with this news.
I don't know. I think it's a lot of wishful thinking.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
We shall see. But that is it for this episode. Cole, do you have any final words to end it all?
No, I'm done. My kids are trying to bust out of their room. So